Maureen Dillon Teasdale for the Cube 88.9 FM, and today we have Melanie cutting in. So it's time again for At the Movies with Mel. So welcome, Melanie.
Thank you very much. Always a treat.
Okay.
As I mentioned last time, I was hoping to get to a movie this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Good.
But before we talk about that, I should mention that currently there are a handful, frankly, of movies that are screening in English. There are four.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is for children. It's Peter Rabbit. And I'm not likely to see that, but certainly if you have kids and if you have a ped day or a weekend and you'd like something to do with them that's fun and not terribly expensive, then Peter Rabbit would be a good bet. Another film, again, which I'm not likely to go and see, is the 50 Shades Freed.
Mm-hmm.
It's called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the third, and I hope and I think the last of the 50 Shades of Grey series of movies based on the series of books. So I was told this is it.
Mm-hmm.
So fine with me. It may be your taste, kind of not mine, but certainly there, and it's in English, and it's probably well done for what it is. The other movie, which is there, there's two other movies there in English at the moment, and one I haven't seen, but I do hope to see very soon, like this week, is called Early Man. In French, it's Crow-Man. And based on a couple of things, based on the trailer and things that this particular movie maker has done before, which includes the Wallace and Gromit movies and a movie called Chicken Run, it should be just extremely funny. This is claymation. It's stop action. It takes forever to make these movies because it's so painstakingly done. But the characters, again, based on what I've seen of the trailers and the promos, the characters look just adorable. And the story seems to be that there's a group of cavemen who are who are kind of hidden in a valley somewhere, and unbeknownst to them, hidden away, time has moved on elsewhere, and the Stone Age, except for their little valley, has turned into the Bronze Age. And so they're discovered by people who have Bronze Age weapons and armor and mentality. So I gather that the gist of the movie is this little tribe of Stone Age folks are desperate to save the valley from the encroachment of the Bronze Age. It looks really good.
Yeah, sounds fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I love cartoons.
Okay.
Cartoons that have a certain edge to them.
Mm-hmm. Like,
again, Peter Rabbit is probably not to my taste because it really does seem to be geared for kids, but mm-hmm. this seems to be one that would work with both younger and older audiences. So that's next on my list of movies that I would like to see. There's a bunch of interesting kind of blockbustery films coming this week and next. The movies, as I've mentioned many times, kind of change on Friday. So if Thursday evening has come and gone, chances are that a movie that you would like to see won't be there anymore. But there are some new and interesting films starting on Friday. But the main event, the movie that I did see, and I must admit, loved, is called Black Panther. And at the risk of, you know, giving away my age, for me, Black Panther still means the radical group from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But this is totally different. The Black Panther is a kind of superhero who's black. And there's much made of the fact that, unusual this was to have a black superhero, but it really isn't. There are numbers of black superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is not only features a black superhero, but it's set in Africa and there are actually only two performers in the movie who are not black. And it was made by a black director named Ryan Coogler, who I actually don't know, written by him and, of course, a whole slew of black actors, some of whom I've seen before, but certainly the young man who plays the Black Panther I have not seen before. His name is Chadwick Boseman, but I'm sure we're going to be seeing lots and lots of him. And his co-star, we've got several co-stars, but one co-star is Michael B. Jordan, who's another up-and-coming black actor who has done several pretty high-profile things at this point. But the movie itself is just so interesting and so creative and so colorful. It is set, as I mentioned, it's set in Africa, and it concerns the country of it's a fictitious country called mm-hmm. Wakanda, mm-hmm. and the Wakanda sits on a huge pile of, I think it's called vibranium, and vibranium is just this amazing substance. It's, you know, it's the strongest metal, and it has all kinds of properties which are remarkable. And the Wakandans, led by at this point T'Challa, who is the king of Wakanda, and the Black Panther. What goes along with being the king of Wakanda is that you can periodically transform into the Black Panther by doing certain things. And he is the person who has defended his father died. He has defended his right to be on the throne, but someone has infiltrated and wants to share the vibranium, Wakanda's mm-hmm. vibranium, mm-hmm. with the world. The world, in fact, because of the high technology and clever disguising of the country, nobody knows that Wakanda is anything more than kind of a third world African nation. But and this is kind of topical, this isolationism versus sharing with the world. There are at least several characters who feel that this is the right thing to do for Wakanda, is to not keep their high technology, and we're talking incredibly high technology here, secret, or the riches of the country, that it should be shared because much of the world is in a very bad situation. Mm-hmm. But not everybody feels that way, and that's where a big part of the action of the movie takes place, is that there's a faction that says, yes, we should do this, and an equally powerful faction that says, no, why would we do that? We've been, A, it's ours, and B, we've been taking care of it really well for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. So I'm not going to give you a whole lot of plot, because one of the things about the movie is that there's a real plot, and it's an interesting plot. It isn't just a whole series of, like many blockbusters, over-the-top CG effects. This is a really interesting story with three-dimensional people in it, and it goes from one incredibly beautiful scene to another, and then once in a while it comes back to the United States where it's not so beautiful. But the country of Wakanda is amazing. It's just, I was watching the movie in what turns out to be the absolutely biggest room at the Maison de Cinema. I had never been in this room before.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And I go a lot, as you know. And it was like, oh, it's in theater number 12. So I was okay. Mm-hmm. Found theater number 12. And it's vast. Mm. And it has, you know, it's a huge room and a huge screen. So it was like, whoa, this is what movie going is all about, especially for this kind of a really mm-hmm. larger than life movie. Mm-hmm. So highly recommended. The two non-black actors are Martin Freeman, who's been in many things recently. Mm-hmm. He's Sherlock Holmes' partner in those movies, and he was in the Lord of the Rings, several of the Lord of the Rings movies. I think he's a hobbit, but anyway, he's done many things, and he's very good. He plays an American CIA agent, so he has to hide his British accent, which he does successfully. And the only other non-black actor is plays the really, really, really bad guy, and his name is Andy Serkis, and he's also excellent, and he's been associated with the Lord of the Rings trilogy as well, and his name on screen, this villain, is Claw.
Okay.
And he has one arm, one real arm, and one arm which is kind of not there, but he attaches very special weapons to his arm. So he's a little bit amusing, but mostly he's just really evil. So there's just a lot to recommend this movie, even if, like me, you're not a real big blockbuster fan. This one has so much going for it beyond the usual blockbuster kind of appeal. So it's highly recommended. You may especially enjoy a scene where the Black Panther is being outfitted for his special suit and new weapons. The person who is the head of the lab unit, who's a lot like Q from the James Bond movies,
okay,
and who has weapons up the yin yang, is his sister.
Oh.
And she's wonderful as well. And everybody is just a little bit humorous as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or almost everybody. So again, even if you say, oh, I don't go to that kind of movie, you might really like this one because it has so many really wonderful touches. It's got a good story, good actors, unbelievable colors and effects and sets and so on. So definitely one that I would recommend. And I would recommend go see it in a big theater. Certainly it will come to your television at some point, the small screen, but it's a big screen kind of film. And there are many showings in English every day and one showing per day in French in 3D. And I thought, that's too bad. This would be a wonderful movie in 3D, but I would want to see it in English in 3D. So that's not happening, but there's all kinds of possibilities for going to see it. It's shown throughout the day and well into the evening. So my recommendation, see it.
You certainly sold me.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the $7. Once again, we're talking a total of $7 here and less if you're a student.
Mm-hmm.
I said if I had nothing to talk about this week, I would talk about the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But I had something to talk about, so we'll have to hold off on the Academy Award chat until another time. But that's in March.
Okay.
At the moment, I don't have the exact date, but it's in March. And it will be, there's always a lot of hype that goes with that. But I'll tell you what my secret is. I set my recorder for the beginning, and it typically is a 3-hour show, which means it ends up actually being closer to 4. So I set my recorder to go for about 4 hours. And then I, at my leisure, sit back and watch the Academy Awards, and I skip over the embarrassing parts, and I just get to see who the opening performances and the musical performances, and I get to see who won, but I don't have to sit through the embarrassing parts where the winners get to say sort of things that are usually an embarrassment for everybody.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just a tip.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you say, oh, I don't want to sit through that. Don't. Just record it and then watch the good bits later on.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I should mention, if I can find it, is the movies that are coming soon. And there's a bunch of them. There's one called Annihilation. Oops, sorry, I'm on the wrong. Okay, here we go. It's called Annihilation with the always excellent Natalie Portman playing the main character. And I don't know a whole lot about this, except she's very good. And probably it will have appeal, if not to people of my generation, then certainly to people in their the 18 to 35 demographic. But more about that when it actually arrives, and I can speak more knowledgeably about it once I've been to see it. Oh, here we have films to come. And so we have Annihilation with Natalie Portman. We have something called Game Night with Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams. And I honestly don't know much about that, but I think it's probably a comedy. And two other movies that are coming soon. One is called Red Sparrow. I truly don't know about that one. And another one called Death Wish. And I think that might be a remake of a movie from several years ago called Death Wish. But I don't know. And that's not coming until sometime in March. But Annihilation is on track to start locally on Friday.
Okay.
Okay. Great. So, get out, go to the movies.
Okay, well, we thank you very much.
You're welcome.